to take the Word of God this evening and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Did you guys hear them out there? Across the mics? We could hear the piano, but we couldn't hear anything coming back from them. I saw that. I heard that, actually. My left ear is thanking you for that. It was awesome. Is it still going? Because it's going in my left ear. Is that? It sounds like this. It's in my left ear. It's great. You can turn it down now. No, I'm just kidding. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1. We talked about this morning. We've kind of started this series on... We've started a series on the family of like precious faith and treating this, what we're doing as a church and what we are as a church, is not a new thing. It's not a contemporary experiment. It's not something that we just thought up. It is a heritage. It is something that has been given to us by Jesus Christ Himself. He said He would build His church, and we must believe that because he has blessed the church all of these years. And we're thankful for the things we find in the Scriptures that talk about our precious faith that we've been given. We kind of broke the faith that we have today down into three different things to understand better. It is the faith by which we are saved through. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And so our salvation is based on a level of faith. It is based on believing the message that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that He was buried, that He rose again, and that He is sitting on the right hand of the Father. And any person that comes to Him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. And all it takes, the Bible says, is the faith of a child to believe that message and to trust Jesus Christ for salvation. The second thing we said is once we're saved, we literally have been handed, the Bible says, a set of beliefs called the faith. And we've been handed the Scriptures. We are to be faithful with the Scriptures. We are to continue to preserve the Scriptures. We're continuing to earnestly contend for what we call our faith. There is a movement in this world today to wash away the things that have been our heritage, the things that have been our moral standing, the things that have been our absolutes, if you would call them that. We absolutely believe, there's no doubt about it, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. We have no doubt in our minds that He lived 33 perfect years. We have no doubt in our mind that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We absolutely believe, without hesitation, without being ashamed, that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, and through faith by Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross. We believe in a local church. We believe that God formed the church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We absolutely believe it is the duty of every Christian to tell others about Him. We believe, and so you understand this, we could go all night long with what is the faith. The set of doctrine, the set of beliefs that we have that God has called us to defend and earnestly contend for. And then we said, you know, when we're saved, God indwells within us by the person of the Holy Spirit of God. We are part of His divine nature, meaning we have inherited Jesus Christ by the person of the Holy Spirit. And He is ever making intercession between us and the Father. And that is communicated to Him and brought to His throne by the Holy Spirit in us. And we are part of that divine nature. We have a part of that divine Godhead. God has indwelt us with His Holy Spirit. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And so we are put within us as the Holy Spirit of God, and then He calls us to a life transferred from this childlike, feeble, mustard seed type faith that we get saved by, that we simply believe the message of Jesus Christ. He didn't ask us that salvation. Do you believe this to be the only Bible? Do you believe this to be the very Word of God? Do you believe that the local churches should be autonomous? Do you believe in individual soul? You don't have to answer all those questions at salvation. You have to have a childlike faith and say, I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe Him to take my sins away. I'm calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved. But once we get past that, the Bible says we've gone from faith to faith. Meaning we don't have to muster up faith now. We don't have to come up with this, can I have enough faith that God can do it? No, He puts within us the Holy Spirit of God. And now the faith that we have comes from Him. It comes from the assurance of knowing that God is in control. It comes from the assurance of knowing. And what God says is that faith is like everybody else's faith. Brother Ryan, at the day of salvation, the Holy Spirit came inside of you. You have no more of the Holy Spirit than I have. My wife has no more of the Holy Spirit than I have. And Brother Matt Palmer has no more of the Holy Spirit than I have. Brother Hoffer has no more of the Holy Spirit than I have. Here's the difference between Christians. The Holy Spirit has more of you. The Holy Spirit has more of me than He has of somebody else. Because the Bible shows us here, we all have like precious faith. It is wonderful. It is precious. It is the Holy Spirit is in us. There's promises we can depend upon. There's assurances from God within us that we are going to be okay, that this is the life He wants us to live, that we're going the right direction as a family in this church, as the children of God. But here's the difference. The Bible says in verse number 5, and beside this saving faith that God has given us, this ability to go through by Jesus Christ through faith, this mustard seed, this childlike faith, beside this set of beliefs that we hold to as God's people, beside this level of like precious faith that is the same for everybody, we have the same access to the same God, to the same things that God, nobody has an up with God, or nobody, God is no respecter of persons, so we are alike with like precious faith. It is a treasure. It is wonderful to have this faith, this assurance in ourselves, this peace that passes all understanding that God is in control. The hope that we have for something in our lives is this like precious faith. And then he says this in verse 5, and beside this, beside that faith, beside that saving faith, beside that assurance that you have in God, beside that set of doctrine, that set of heritage, that partakers of the divine nature, beside this, giving all diligence, here it is, add to your faith. Add to your faith. We said this morning, in kind of recapping this morning's message, that the difference between some Christians is not bigger faith. You'll read in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith this person was able to go out and change the world and build an ark when they didn't know that they should what to do. They just did what God said to do. And you go, wow, what huge faith. No, they had like precious faith like you and I. They had the same faith. Maybe not the same level of faith, but they had like precious faith like you and I had. Wow, somebody left America and went to the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa. Wow, what great faith. But the Bible shows us that people who go further for God and make a bigger difference for God and believe the promises of God and go through tough situations with God and through God is, I believe, one of the keys is this verse right here. And with all diligence, add to your faith. We all have like precious faith, but we're not all adding to our faith. We're not all taking the same steps forward for God. And that's why in a church you have people all on different spiritual levels and you think, wow, that person's got more faith than I got. No, they've added to their faith. After they were saved, they might have gotten their Bible and they've added to their faith. And they might have come to church more often so that not to be a better person, but they added to their faith under the messages that were taught. They've added to their faith in the Sunday school lessons. They've added to their faith through Christian education. They've added to their faith by serving the Lord. And so the Bible shows us what to do and what to add. I love lists in the Bible. I've done different Bible studies of lists in the Bible, and it's amazing the order that God puts things in. You and I both know the very first thing the Bible says here is add to your faith virtue. We said this morning that virtue sometimes is kind of entitled as a purity word. The virtuous woman or person of virtue. That simply means a person of character or high morals. But this word here, this word virtue here, is not the same word as a purity word. It is the word for holy boldness. It is the word that we find in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 6 and verse number 8. Be of good courage. It's that same thought that runs through. The Bible says, add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith courage. Add to your faith a holy boldness for the Lord. To be able to speak up for Him. To be able to speak out for Him. Be able to stand up and stand out. Can you imagine? There's certain people that we stand sometimes in awe of and we're wowed by their boldness for the Lord. Well, the Bible says after this precious faith has been handed to us, the first thing that you're going to have to add, if you're going to be what God wants you to be, if you're going to do what God wants you to do, then you're going to have to add to that faith boldness and courage. And every person in here knows what I'm talking about. Have you ever gone into the world and you want to take a stand for something and you've backed down? How many, I'm in the same group. How many have ever backed down at a moment you should have taken a stand? Sure. It's not that you lack faith because you knew what you believe. You know you have the truth. Their life is on fire. Their destination's hell. Their father is the devil. You know all of these things. You have the faith. You have the faith. You have faith that it's true. You have faith in the Word of God that He's right. You have faith that the salvation you have is the only answer for heaven. And the moment you go to step to say something, you don't lack faith. You lack virtue. And I believe with all my heart that if we will add these things in the order that God says to add these things, that we will be able to see greater things, not, and it'll be attributed to faith. But it will be because we have added to our faith. And people will say, I have not seen so great a faith as I've seen at Bible Baptist Church. Those people are people of great faith, but the truth of the matter is, it's the same faith that every other person has. We've just added to our faith. And we've got layers to our faith. And there's a foundation to our faith. And here it is. The Bible says, add virtue. Add boldness. Add a courage. Add a holy boldness to speak up for the Christ. Exercising your faith with boldness. See, the world is bold, friend. You don't have to watch the television for 5 minutes to know that these people out there are very, very bold. How in the world do you have an idea in your head that people ought to use the bathroom? I'll just talk about the pink elephant in the corner of the room that everybody's been seeing over the last 2 weeks and nobody says anything about. Listen, how do you come to the place where you believe that people should be able to use the bathroom, whichever bathroom, here it is, that they self-identify with? By the way, what Christians have been saying is going to happen has already happened. They've arrested 3 people for videotaping and taking pictures of little girls and women in bathrooms. So it's happening the way that we thought it would happen. It happened the way that the common sense, practical way that people thought it would happen. But how do you get to that place and listen and then change the law of the land for it? You know why? Because somebody had boldness. You know what God's people lack a lot of times? Holy boldness. We don't change anything in America. There's no laws being passed in our favor. There's nothing that is happening that... And listen, I understand that the Bible says that they hated Him. They're going to hate us. I believe that with all my heart that in the last days things will wax worse and worse. So I'm not saying that the moral condition in America could be switched around and all the laws are going to be passed in our favor. I don't believe that to be true. But I do believe we could be making a bigger difference and slowing the pace of the degradation and slowing the pace of the devastation in this country if we would have more courage and holy boldness. Virtue. Because every person in here, when you watch the news, it bothers you. Because you know the truth, and you know what is right, and you have the same precious faith that I have, and you get disgusted just like I get disgusted. The difference is we are not adding virtue, and therefore we are not standing for what is right. And we are not speaking out for what is right. A pastor friend in Tennessee spoke out this past week, and he's been on Fox News, and the video that he made has gone viral and has had over 13 million views as he talked out against different businesses and different things of this transgender movement. You know what I said? People say, "Hell, you know, why in the world? Why would he say something? I mean, it's not going to make a difference." That's the attitude that's gotten us in trouble in America. What do you think social media is for? So you can catch up with your friends? So that you can hit like because you like somebody's recipe? Is that what you're using social media for? That's where we've gotten to in our churches. We it's all about recipe sharing and pin this and pin that. And I like that outfit and I like that amusement park and I like that trip and we should go there. We should spend our money on this. And I think those are wonderful things. And nobody gets to the point where we're actually virtuous and speaking out for holy boldness and for the things of God. The Bible says this faith, this disgust you have in your heart because you know the truth, because the set of beliefs you have is real, because God is the Lord of all, and you believe that in your heart. The Bible says if you're going to make a difference, the first thing you have to do is you have to have courage. You have to get within you a boldness that says, this is right. I'm not talking about being belligerent. I'm not talking about being somebody that is unlistenable. I'm not talking about somebody who is out there making a shame of the name of Christ and throwing mud on the bride of Christ. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody with holy boldness standing up for what is right and doing what is right no matter what. My friend, if that's going to happen, you don't need more faith. You need to add to your faith virtue. Number two. Bible says, beside this, giving all diligence, haste, urgency, add to your faith virtue, a holy boldness and courage. And to your holy boldness and courage, virtue, knowledge. Knowledge. Anybody ever heard somebody speak up and have no idea what they're talking about? Basically what I'm saying is we've all spoken up at different times and we have no idea what we're really saying. We don't study the issues. We don't study our Bibles the way we ought to. We don't really have what the Bible calls the knowledge of the absolutes. So we want to speak out on gay marriage. We want to speak out on the transgender movement. We want to speak out about all of these things. But we have not studied the book of knowledge. See, the Bible says, thy word is truth. This is the truth. And what we ought to be putting into our minds is God's word. I know people that read hundreds of articles a week on all these things, and all they do is get more discouraged and more depressed every week. Listen, if you want to live a life from victory, we are not marching towards victory. We are working from victory. We have already won. Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. Death has no sting. Death has no power. It has no hold on you. Death cannot stop you. To be absent from your body, if you know Jesus Christ your Savior, is to be present with the Lord. You are victorious. But we don't live. We act like we're defeated. We act like we're trying to win. We act like we're trying to muster up this strength and this faith to go out there and make it. Listen, we are victorious. You know how you find that out? You find that out by reading the Bible. Adding to your boldness and your courage, the things you ought to be saying, the things you ought to be contending for, the things you ought to be standing up for. You need to know what you're talking about. The knowledge of the absolutes. Listen, God's order is important. Because if you don't add boldness and courage to faith first, all knowledge does is puff you up. Because knowledge is meant to come in so that it can go out. That's why we learn things. Have you ever met a professional student? Has anybody ever heard of that term? I had a gentleman in my home church he was my English teacher when I was in high school. And one day somebody came to me and said, oh, he's going back for a degree. And I said, I thought he had a degree. And they said, he does, but he's going to get another one. And I said, okay. That sounds a little weird. So he went to Notre Dame University. Notre Dame, whoa! This big Catholic school, I mean, this is huge. He got accepted into Notre Dame. And he went for 4 years for a history degree, studying, I have no idea what, but it was just nonsense. And then when he graduated, we thought, oh, maybe he'll come back to the school and maybe he'll, like, I was already out of school and I thought maybe he'd go back and teach history and English. And man, what a double whammy to have a history teacher and an English teacher. That would be great. And they said, oh, he's transferring to Ohio State University for another degree. To do what? Today, He is still in school, and he has been in school for the last 12 years. And my wife knows the man. He is a professional student. And when you talk to him, you cannot even have a reasonable conversation because knowledge has puffed him up. And the truth of the matter is, I've met Christians like that. They sit around and read their Bible all day, and they read and they read and they study and they get this obscure fact and they know something somebody else doesn't know, and it puffs them up because they know something somebody else doesn't know. They know how it works. They know the key to this and the key to that, and they rightly divide this, and they got all this stuff and they got all this knowledge. But without boldness and without courage, they don't ever do anything with it. Because God says to add boldness and courage, and when you're about to step out and say something, why don't you add to that courage and that boldness, add knowledge. Know how to defend your faith. Know how to earnestly contend for the faith. The argument, well, you're wrong, doesn't work on the world. Matter of fact, it doesn't work on anybody. Try telling your children, don't do that. Why? Because I said so. Let me know how successful that is as parents. It doesn't work. It might work one time when they're three, like till they have the knowledge of right and wrong. That might work. But once they have the knowledge of right and wrong, you probably need to know why you're telling them what not to do. That's the same thing with our faith. We have been given this light, precious faith. And what we do is we set it on a shelf week after week. We don't pick up the Word of God. We don't take the things of God and say, you know what, I need to know this. And I need to know this not only about this, I need to know this. I don't need to have a head knowledge of it. I need to have a heart knowledge of it. I need to let it sink inside of me so that when it comes time to step up and step out, to stand up for God, that I have knowledge and I have boldness to speak out for the Lord. One of the greatest things you could ever do if you're trying to win somebody to the Lord is get closer to God and more of His Word in you. Knowledge brings that understanding. We at some point must gain knowledge of how to present Christ in the right light. I can't speak to people out there the way I speak to you in here. I must present Christ in the right light. We're saved. We're working from a point past salvation. We're working from a point past kindergarten Christianity. We're working to the point past some of these things. We have the basic knowledge of the absolutes. We have an understanding. Look, you're going to speak to somebody who doesn't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. Where are you going to take them? Can you defend the virgin birth of Christ 400 years before it happened from the Old Testament, 500 years before it happened, and bring them to a prophetic answer in the New Testament and show them that the virgin birth is true? Maybe that's the key that unlocks their denial of Christ and their denial of the Messiah as a way of salvation. My friend, that comes from the Word of God. That comes from studying. That comes from adding to our faith knowledge. But we gather knowledge to our faith because we've added it to a courage and a boldness. And because Paul said, I am not ashamed. Why? Why was he ashamed? Because he was a Pharisee, and he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew the law, and he never stopped learning. He never stopped gathering the knowledge. He never stopped talking to God. God never stopped speaking to him. And so he was able to go. And the Bible says, listen to this, he reasoned with them. He reasoned with them. What is that? That is knowledge based on God, knowledge based on absolutes, knowledge based on the mysteries of God that have been revealed, and now he can speak to somebody and reason with them. And the Bible never puts that out there. He reasoned with them from the Scriptures. And that is what God... Listen, I love sports, but it's not going to help me to earnestly contend for my faith. I love golf. It won't help me one time to earnestly contend for the faith. I love eating out at restaurants. I love my family. But listen, none of that is going to add to my faith and be able to make a difference in the world that I live in. So the Bible says, add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. Here it is. 1 Peter 3:15. Turn back just a couple of pages there. Just a proof verse here. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, You have the truth. Do you believe it's the truth? Sanctify them in your hearts. Set it apart in your hearts. Know that you have the truth. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you with a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Listen, there ought to be the ability to reason with people from the Scripture. To give them an answer of the hope. You have hope. You know the truth. You know what you believe. Other folks ought to be able to know that too by reasoning with them from the Scripture. He says, add to your faith, virtue. Add to your virtue, knowledge. Number three, he says, add to your knowledge, temperance. I love the order of God's Word. I love temperance because the Bible shows us that temperance means self-control. Now, how many realize you can never control yourself? Remember what he said in verse number 3? You are partakers of His divine nature. You probably need to tap into that to figure out how to control yourself. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You don't have to blow, I love these people. Well, I just had to get it off my chest. No, you didn't. Well, I just had to give them a piece of my mind. You might want to gather that back up. Well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say this, but don't say it. Because the Bible says, to this precious faith that we have been given, to this belief that God is in control, that God knows best, He says, add boldness and courage. Be able to step out there at the right moment. Be able to step up when the time is come. Be able to step out there and represent Christ with boldness and courage. Don't back down to anybody. You have the truth. He says, but when you go out there to step, add some knowledge. Know what you're talking about. How many have ever known somebody who knows what they're talking about, but they have no idea how to say it? I tell people the very first principle when you're dealing with people, most people don't really know how to say things. You have to listen to what people are saying and not how they say it. I talk to people and most people dismiss what people are saying because they don't like how the person said it. Now, we can get along as Christians with sober lives, as any live peaceably with all men. I can get over how you're saying it, and I can probably gather a little bit of what you're saying, even though you're cussing at me and yelling, like Ryan usually does. When he calms down, though, I think, in all the cussing and swearing and trying to punch me, you know, he had a point there. Now, that comes from a point of maturity that most Christians don't bother with, and they say, oh, she's stupid. Well, what she said was pretty good. How she said it, absolute disaster. Drama queen, crazy. Insane. But what she said was probably pretty good. So what we're saying here is, if you're going outside the four walls of this church and you're going to take a stand for the Lord and there's a time where you have to figure out when to say it, what to say. Now you have when to say it because you are bold and you are courageous and you are going to stand with virtue and you are going to earnestly contend for the faith. It is time to step up and say something. He says, make sure you know what you're talking about. Make sure there's knowledge there. But number three, make sure you add to your faith temperance. Because when you are talking to immature people, when you are talking to spiritually illiterate people, when you are talking about unspiritual people, you not only need to say what is right, you need to learn how to say it right. You need temperance. You need self-control. This idea of just bashing everybody and then that's going to lead them to Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. When you lift up Christ and you say, I know about Him, I know not just about Him, I actually know Him, He is my Savior, it is time to stand up, it is time to take a stand, it is time with boldness and courage, I know what I'm talking about, I know what the Bible says about this, and it's time for me to say something, here is what will temper that ability to say it the right way. And the Bible says, add to your faith temperance. Add to your faith self-control. Add to your faith the ability to know how to say what you're trying to say. It is impossible to be a Christian without Christ. And it is impossible to live the Christian life without Christ. Listen, you cannot make one stand for God. You cannot fix one thing in your life right now without Christ. So you need His help. You need His help. You need self-control from the Spirit. People say, well, we've just been arguing a lot. Well, somebody's got to become Spirit-controlled. Somebody's got to stop and say, listen, we have got to make sure that what we're doing is with temperance. Is it right what that person is saying? Might be. But we have to work on this area of temperance. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You're not going fast enough. Come on, Miss Adrian. Man, you're slow. Let's go. You're there. All right. Now that she's there, probably everybody's there. Stephanie, let's go. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 to 27. Look at it right here. And every man that striveth for the mastery, here it is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Huh. What would you, can you give me a two-word definition for under subjection? Self-control. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, when I told others what they should do, I myself should be a castaway. The Bible says if you are going to attain the prize, if you are going to make a difference, if you are going to hear well done, thou good and faithful servant, it says you must be temperate in all things. You have got to learn how to control yourself. You know why most of the time people don't make a difference in the workplace? I believe that it's not because you have a lack of faith. I believe you have like precious faith just like I do. You want to go in that workplace. You want to see every person saved. I believe with all my heart. I believe that even sometimes you are like, oh, I'm going to do this. I have courage. I have holy boldness. I'm going to do this. I know it's right. And you have studied. You know what to say. You know when to say it. You have discerned that it is time to take a stand about something. It is time to help this person see Jesus Christ. But you lose control. So every time you say you're a Christian, and every time you say you go to church, and every time you say you believe the Bible, and every time they see you reading on break the Bible, the reason nobody really wants what you have is because you don't have self-control. And I believe the people who do make a difference and who do see the prize, and who do see the rewards and blessings of God, are people who are not only knowledgeable and not only courageous and bold for God, and not only those things, but they are people that are temperate in all things. That their life is consistent. Their life is controlled. Their life, that everywhere they go, the Spirit controls them. Everything they say, the Spirit controls them. Everywhere they stand up for God, they're under control. And the Bible says here, Peter says, listen, in this day, even Peter's talking about a day of persecution. He said, you have got to add to your faith virtue. Boldness and courage. You are going to get run over by this world if you don't get some boldness in you. He says, add to your virtue knowledge. You ought not to just be, well, what be, will be, will be. You know, I can't really make a difference. And you know, that Bible stuff is for people smarter than me. No, add to your virtue knowledge. But add to that knowledge what you know to say is right. What you're about to say is the truth. Here it is, speaking the truth in love. That would be self-control. You have the truth. You could give them the right arm of truth, punch them right in the nose spiritually, and they would have to stagger back because you have the truth. The Bible says, use some self-control. Do it with love. Say it the right way. Say it kindly. You're going to approach your spouse. You can't just blast off at your spouse. You have got to stop and speak the truth. You've added the knowledge. You've got the truth. Use some self-control and do it in love. Add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. Add to the knowledge temperance. Number four, add to your temperance patience. I just looked across the auditorium and three people rolled their eyes. Oh, long suffering. Oh, man. Patience. How many have ever stood for the truth? You know you're doing what's right. You're in the will of God. You're trying to be what God wants you to be. Whether it's in your marriage, in the workplace, whether it's in church, whether it's in your ministry, you're striving to do what is right. You believe you are knowledgeable about it. You are adding to your faith these things. You're bold. You're ready to go at a moment's notice. You are going to earnestly contend every time we turn around. You have temperance. You're starting to learn when and where, some discernment to do it in love. And you've done it. Now the waiting game starts. Preacher, when does it make a difference? Preacher, when do my kids get it? When does my spouse change? When does my work situation all of a sudden become like a second church and everybody's saved and excited about the Lord? When does that happen? Patience. When does my home change? I am tired of walking into a volatile situation. All we do is yell. All we do is complain. All we do is run around like people that are chickens with their head cut off and we are going nutso. When does it change? Patience. I love the divine order. Because some people put patience first and they've never done anything to change the situation. They're just sitting back waiting for it to change. This patience is the patience that's added after you've done what you're supposed to do.